the messenger of his word will be coming up again to bless our soul this morning. Let us receive our Father, Bishop David Oyedepo, as he comes to bless us again with the word of the Lord.
Lift up your hands and shout hallelujah. Somebody was lying and dying at Shiloh, far away in Port Harcourt, and still heard the prophetic word that restored her kidneys. How can you be here alive and hear nothing? That also means that no matter where you are on the planet Earth today, if your heart is truly connected to the waves of life on this ground, you are going to be tapping into everything in fullness. That soul was meant for the grave, but the prophetic word brought her out. The prophetic word that's been going on ever since this event began last night must bring you out finally from that situation. This is your own Shiloh. Lift up your two hands. And before the Lord, profess your faith regarding his package for you at Shiloh 2011. This is my Shiloh. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. I know in the first two teachings we have had, something must have dropped for you. Has somebody caught any light? Has any word come through to someone here? Your testimonies must come. Every time you receive the word, you are empowered to become what the word says. It's as many as received him, to them he gave power to become. So any word you receive, you are empowered to become. Any word you truly receive, you are empowered to become. Any word you truly receive, you are empowered to become. And the proof will be in your testimonies. And your testimonies must come. I'll take us for the morning sessions on what I've captioned, wonders in the word. Wonders in the word. God's word is pregnant with wonders. God's word carries wonder genes. God's word is wonder loaded. The psalmist said, open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119 verse 18. God's word is loaded with wonders. God's word is pregnant with wonders. Only those who see them can experience them. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things that are in thy law. God's word is loaded with wonders. God's word is pregnant with wonders. God's word carries wonder genes. So when you receive the word, the wonders in the word begin to manifest in your life. Wonders in the word. Wonders in the word. And this morning, I just take my time to take us through one principal wonder that the word conveys to us is to unveil our identity. Unveils our identity, which is our place of command. Because until you know who you are, and you are conscious of who you are, you cannot gain command. The word unveils our identity in Christ, which confers authority on us. It unveils our identity as believers, that gives us the authority to operate in our domain. James chapter 1. And let's look at how that happens. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass and is comparing the world with the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That means in this world, which is a divine mirror, we discover what manner of man we are. That is, the word of God paints the picture of the manner of man that we are. And that is the platform for our dominion. That is the platform for our authority. It unveils to us what manner of man we are. I've always told the story of this sage, Kenneth Hagin, that he told many years ago, that a little lion baby was captured and was growing among the sheep. And by so doing, lost his identity as a lion. And he was eating what the sheep was eating and doing what the sheep was doing. And every time they went to the stream for watering, and they sized a lion on the other side, they keep, each one took to his, including the lion sheep. But one day he saw his picture on the face of the water, and it dawned on him, I look like that thing we are running away from. What? He shook his head. His ears are heavier than the ones that are sheep here and there. No? What? As he caught his picture, it turned his mentality. The next time they came and saw a lion and all the sheep took to their heels, he said, no way, I'm not going anywhere. I look like that thing exactly. So he walked the stairs, crossed to the other side, and when the lions met, they greeted themselves and welcomed back to the family. The reason why we have lost our identity is because we live among the natural. So we have lost our supernatural identity to the environment. And we need to discover that identity from scriptures. That's where our actual picture is found. Every time law enforcement agents want to search you, they ask you, identify yourself, isn't it? Identify yourself. Because your identity is your strength. Your identity is your security. Your identity is your authority. Identify yourself. And you don't have to make any, just bring your idea. If you have any idea, you bring it out. And then some of the time, Thank you, sir. Please pass on. You don't need to talk. Just you have an identity that guarantees authority. You just pass. In John chapter 1, verse 19 to 23, they asked John, "We have been sent by the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, to ask you, who art thou? Art thou the Christ?" And he confessed and denied not. He said, "I am not the Christ." They said, "But who art thou then? And what sayest thou of thyself?" Verse 23. "What sayest thou of thyself?" So you must have a consciousness. You must have a consciousness of who you are to fulfill your destiny in God. You must have a consciousness of who you are. He said, "But who art thou? And what saith thee of thyself?" In John chapter 8 and verse 25, they came to Jesus and said, "Who art thou?" And Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Who art thou?" Everyone that will make any serious impact in his life must come to discover his identity in Christ. Who art thou? The reason I say some dangerous things I say is because of my consciousness of my identity. Hallelujah. Who art thou? And what sayest thou of thyself? Don't mind what they say about you. What sayest thou of thyself? You know, the apostles said, "We cannot but speak those things we have heard and we have seen." You have heard it, but have you seen it? So this morning, my job is to help you see your true picture from the scriptures. Your true picture from the scriptures. One day, through the powerful ministry of Smith Wigglesworth, I saw that I was seated in Christ in heavenly places far above. And immediately I was looking for any devil to torment. So I'm so far above you and I didn't know. Now that I know, get ready. I said, "How many of you are witches? Stand up now." 1979, you don't need to be called to ministry to have authority. You just need revelation.
Yes, yes.
You need what? Revelation. You can be a minister and not have authority. And all the witches stood up. Come and say authority. You can't call them to stand up if you don't have authority over them. They know you know them. That if they don't stand up, you call them up. Stand up! They stood up. Come on, tell me now, what do you do with the devil? 1979, no microphone. It's smartphone. You hear direct. And they stood up. And I said, "Okay, what of when people like us are coming?" Come and say authority. Because we have already discovered that you are not at the same level again. I want you to believe God that the pictures I've been painting to you from scriptures will change your mentality forever. Can I hear your loudest amen? They will change your perspective, your mentality forever. Who art thou? There were three times the devil moved people to attempt to stone Jesus. It was all on the basis of the consciousness of his identity. John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. And then these Jews took up stones to stone him. The Jews sought the more to kill him because he only had not broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. They couldn't stand it. In chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, before Abraham was, I am.
What? You are not 50 years old yet.
And you say, you saw your father Abraham? We'll kill you today. They couldn't stand it. Jesus knew who he was. That was the greatest challenge of the devil. When you discover your true identity, you start dominating your circumstances. Jesus knew who he was. In John chapter 10, verse 34 to 39, they reacted. They sought again to take him. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are God.
What?
We are what? Even though it was in their Bible, they couldn't receive it. It was too much. And they sought again to kill him. The revelation of your identity is your greatest asset. The revelation of your identity is your greatest asset. That is what positions you for dominion in the adventure of life. The revelation of your identity is your greatest asset. In John chapter 7, verse 29, he said, I am from him. He has sent me. He knew where he came from. If I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar like unto you. Now, John chapter 8 and verse 23. I am from above. You are from beneath. I'm not of this world. But you are of this world. I am from above. And you know, John 3:31. Whatever is from above is above all. He that cometh from above is above all. Jesus said, I am from above. Ye are from beneath. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Recognize that as a believer. Your case is different. Come on, say with me, my case is different. Say it loud, my case is different. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a peculiar people, a different species of men. What are your peculiarities? The Bible says you are chosen to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are chosen to live a marvelous life. Because in scriptures, light equals life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. So, redemption ordains you to live a marvelous life. A life to be marveled at. A man and a woman to be wondered at. Let's now start picking the pictures of your marvels from scriptures. In John chapter 1, Jesus said, as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. Now, that statement is heavy. Join that to John 3:16. The Bible says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, or the God kind of life, life that has no beginning and has no ending, the kind of life that God possesses. So when you are saved, your human life is exchanged for divine life. Salvation is a translation from humanity to divinity. Salvation. You possess the life of God so you can live like God. Eternal life, everlasting life, is the God kind of life which you encounter at salvation. So you can't say, as a human being, what can I do under these circumstances? That's you are ignorant. When you are saved, you are no longer just a human being. You are a God being in a human clothing. The human flesh is only your clothing.
Yes.
You are a God being within a human clothing. You are a God being within your human clothing. That is the essence of salvation. I don't want you to consent to that statement. I want you to see it until you are convinced that that is it. So you now have divine life in the place of human life. Every child of man possesses human life. Every child of goat possesses a goat's life. Every child of a fish possesses a fish life. So what life should a child of God possess?
God's life.
A God kind of life.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, it would be wrong grammar to say now you are children of God. He said now are we sons of God. It does not yet appear what shall be, but when it shall appear, we shall be like him. But now we are sons of God. Now are we sons of God. Now, not later, now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Now are we sons of God. Now are we sons of God. It does not yet appear what it shall be, when it shall appear. We shall be like unto him. I'd like you to understand this, that everyone that is born again is a child of God that possesses the God kind of life. Now, that life is immune to sickness. Before the fall of man, there was no pain, there was no ache, there was no sickness, there was no disease. Adam possessed physically the life of God. There was no fear, so there was no torment. That was man at the beginning before the fall. And when Jesus came, he came to restore what was lost in the first Adam. Therefore, by the authority of scriptures, every sickness, every disease, every torment inside anybody's system, your eyes, your ears, your heart, your kidneys, your lungs, your liver, your bones, your marrows, be
because it is forbidden in divine life, I decree your instant release now. Yes. Jesus never had any pains, had no aches. He was the second Adam personified. He lived a sickness-free, pain-free life. It is one core attribute of eternal life. Therefore, high blood pressure, hypertension, call it any name that anyone may have called it for you, I decree your liberty now in the name of Jesus. Say with me, I'm a child of God. I have eternal life. I have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 to 15. Please follow through. We are tormenting the devil today. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and by the grace of God, and that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Jesus tasted death for us, so we won't have to taste it again. Now, look at verse 10. For it became him for whom were all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So what he did was to bring us into glory. Now, verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are of one. For which cause he was not ashamed to call them brethren. When you are saved, you become a brother of Jesus. That means you share the same genes with him. Say with me, I share same genes with Jesus. Whatever therefore could not be found in Jesus must not be found in you. Can you imagine Jesus with high blood pressure? Can you imagine Jesus with hypertension? Can you imagine Jesus with cancer? Can you imagine Jesus with kidney failure? Can you imagine Jesus with liver diseases? Can you imagine Jesus with impotency? Can you imagine Jesus with mental blockade? Can you imagine Jesus with insanity? Now listen. Because we are his brethren, we came out of same parent, so whatever cannot be found in him must not be found in me. Can you imagine Jesus with typhoid fever? Jesus with migraine? Whatever cannot be found in him. Whatever cannot be found in Jesus must not be found in you. In one moment, now react. Now see, faith is not a quiet stuff. Faith is a violent force. Faith is not a soft stuff. It's not a gentle stuff. Faith is a violent force. Whatever is ruling around your life that is not in Christ, Now, violently react against it. Stand up in one moment. No, no more. No more. You share some genes with Jesus. Come on, react. In Jesus' precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That is, we have our own heritage in God, not in our natural family. No. So you can't share hereditary diseases. Why? Because you don't belong to that family anymore. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What affects them must not affect you, because you don't belong to the same lineage again. You now belong to the lineage of God. How many believe that? Therefore, every so-called hereditary diseases, I declare them cursed in the name of Jesus. Every generational curse from anyone's family is declared broken now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please get seated. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16 and verse 17 said, and if children, then hears of God, and join ears with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then hears of God, and join ears with Jesus Christ. Whatever God does not possess is not part of your inheritance. Does God possess sickness?
No.
Does he possess failure?
No.
Does he possess oppression?
No.
Does he possess depression?
No.
This is so important. So your number one picture is that now you are children of God. You have the life of God. You are now heirs of God and joined heirs with Jesus Christ. And whatever cannot be found in that lineage is not permitted in your life.
Can I hear your loudest amen? Now, Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah is the winning tribe among the tribes of Israel. He said to them, Judah is a lion's whelp. My son, he said, who shall arouse him? He said, his hand is on the neck of his enemy. Judah is a winning tribe. So redemption makes you a winning son. No matter the heat of the battle, victory is determined in your favor. You can't be a brother of a lion except you're a lion. So if he called us brethren, whatever he was or he is, that is what we are now. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. Genesis 49. I want the lion in you to come alive. You have been harassed enough. It's time to harass your harasser. It's time to torment your troubler. Somebody believe that? Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Say with me, I'm catching my picture. I'm taking my place. I'm catching my picture. Now, verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall bend the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he coached as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall arouse him? Who shall arouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, that's a picture of Jesus in prophecy. Now, in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6, the elder said, one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, his name is Jesus, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Has prevailed. The lion is ordained to prevail. No matter the heat of the battle, the lion is ordained to prevail. No matter the gang ups from hell, a lion is ordained to prevail. And that's what you are. From today, the last battle you lost is the last you will ever lose in your life. From today, I see your hand upon the neck of your enemies. I see all of your oppressors begging you to help out. I see all of your mockers gathering to celebrate your victory. It is that picture of the lion in me that gives me the winning mentality in every battle. Because the lion is strongest among the beasts, and it turneth not away for any. Lions are never known with fear. They only set fear in others. The
The consciousness of the lion in you will make you fearless.
Yes.
If Jesus called us brethren and is the lion of the tribe of Judah, then we are lions. And because we are lions, we are bound to prevail always. He said, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph and make it known by us the savor of his knowledge in every place. From today, wherever you turn, you'll be triumphing. Wherever you turn, you keep on triumphing. Say with me, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, also we discover from scriptures that redemption has repositioned you above all principalities and powers. So you have been repositioned. You are not just saved and left there at the mercy of the devil. Colossians 1:13, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his own dear sons. You have been translated. So you are no longer living in the domain of the devil. You are living far above. You know, as great as the American nation, no American law enforcement agent can arrest me in Nigeria because I'm off their territory. You need this consciousness that salvation has translated you from the realms where principalities and powers dominate and torment. You have left their kingdom. So their constitution is no longer binding on you. Their law enforcement agents can no longer arrest or harass you. You are no longer in their kingdom. He has raised you together with him. Ephesians 2:5-6. And made you to sit together with him in heavenly places. Come on, listen to me. So, by redemption, you have become an heavenly citizen. Only on assignment on the earth. So, whatever does not obtain in heaven is illegal in your life.
Amen.
Is somebody hearing what I'm talking about? You are raised together with him and you are made to sit together with him in heavenly places. There is no weeping in heaven. So weeping ceases in your life today. Heaven is full of joy. Heaven is full of joy. Now, heaven is full of joy. Therefore, beginning from today, I decree that your life becomes full of joy. To command dominion on the earth, you need an heavenly mentality. You need to possess an heavenly mentality. That I caught since 1979. You can't get me off it forever. There is no force under heaven that can stir fear in me. I can only stir fear in you. Because I'm not in your realm. I left your realm longest time by revelation. 1979. We were driving one day many years ago, and then one soldier was stopping us.
and I didn't see him. And when I stopped,
he said, I shoot you. And I said, you are too small.
His gun went down.
He said, you are too small.
Nonsense. You use gun to scare who?
Too small. You are too small. You need a heavenly mentality to command dominion on the earth.
The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places, and that place is said to be what?
Far above all principalities and powers and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Far above, Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. Far above. That's where Christ is seated, and we are seated together with him.
So I see no more sickness will harass you in your life. Come on, say here.
Say with me, I've been repositioned for dominion. Over principalities and powers and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I have been repositioned by redemption for dominion. For dominion.
Can you imagine a dog chasing after a lion? Because it's a German dog. You know they call some dog German dog? Will any German dog be mad enough to be pursuing after a lion?
Can you imagine any wolf trying to contend the territory of a lion? Can you imagine any evil beast? These are all the pictures of the devil in scriptures. But the picture of Jesus is a lion. He said the devil is roaring like, he's only a barking dog. He's roaring like a lion. There is only one lion in scriptures. His name is Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen. Is somebody blessed here? Say with me, I'm free. Say loud, I'm free. Louder yet, I'm free. Well, according to scriptures, as we round up, John chapter 3, verse 18. The wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How many of them? So every child of God is a sign and a wonder. Everyone. You are not expected to live a natural life. New birth repositions you to live a supernatural life. You need a supernatural mentality to maximize destiny. You need a supernatural mentality to maximize destiny. He said, I and the children which God has given to me, they are for signs and for wonders in Israel. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 8. He said, the sons that are before you, their men wondered at. So every child of God is a man and a woman to be wondered at. Your steps should provoke wow. Amen. From every quarters. Your steps should provoke what? A wow from every quarter.
Every child of God is ordained for signs and for wonders. Every child of God is ordained to live a supernatural life. If I didn't have a supernatural mentality, you cannot ask. It's time to get the aircraft. You don't know the name, you don't know the cost, and you are still stupid enough to say it with every conviction. And then you got it with change in return. I mean, so what? Okay, you dedicate the tabernacle next year and you are not a dummy. The dress are not in place. And it will save 50,000 people. How? Why? Are you sick? No. It's a supernatural mentality that does all things. You need a supernatural mentality to maximize destiny. Many things God has spoken to you, but you don't have the capacity to receive them because you are operating in the natural realm. You don't have the capacity to receive them because you are operating in the natural realm. When you are born again, you are like the wind. They can't tell where you are coming from and where you are going. It says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How many are born of the Spirit are here? Amen. Say with me, I am ordained for signs and for wonders. 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 Talking about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. So Jesus came down to this world as a sign. And he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So who are you? Come on, let me hear you say it. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? We need that mentality to maximize destiny. Number four, redemption engraces you with the mind of Christ. Say the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Come and say, I have. Say it loud, I have. I have the mind of Christ. I have. Now, there is going to be explosion of divine wisdom this time. Explosion of divine wisdom this time. Explosion of divine wisdom from henceforth. There shall be in the body of Christ things that have never been known or heard before will start coming to play right now. Explosion of divine wisdom in every aspect of your life. Come and say, I have the mind of Christ. Now, listen, what is that mind worth? By him were all things made. And without him was not anything made that was made. That mind is super creative. Come and say super creative. That is the ultimate of creativity. There's coming to the body of Christ a wave of divine intuition. A wave of divine innovation. A wave of divine invention. Because the reality of the mind of Christ is coming back to the church. There is no covered building in the world that sees 50,000 people without mechanical ventilation. But you have one here.
there is coming a strange wave. On our campus today, there is a 500 kVA battery run generator without fuel on this campus today. Divine intuition, divine innovation, divine creativity, divine inventions is visiting the church afresh. Somebody believe that. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. All of our students, under the sound of my voice, as you get back to school, you become students to be wondered at. All our professionals, as you get back to your job, you become men and women to be wondered at. Two Covenant University students just won a gold medal in South Korea just last week on Young Inventors Contest, an international contest. But we have the mind of Christ. So among the things that became new when you are saved is a mind transplant. Your natural mind was exchanged for his divine mind. So you can operate at the same frequency, generate the same order of results. Therefore, from now, you will not think ordinarily again. Amen. Somebody believe that. Let me hear your loudest amen. 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 Say with me, I have the mind of Christ. Let's rush to shut down in Psalm 82, verse 5 to 7. They know not, neither would they understand, so they walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods. They say, what? And I mean all of you that are children of the Most High God. How many of them? How many of them? He said, of you that are children of the Most High God. He said, but because you don't know it and you refuse to understand it, he said, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So it means that when this picture dawns on you, you don't die the way men die. You don't fall like others are falling. 1,000 may fall on your right, 10,000 on your left. With your eyes you will see them, they will never come near you. But there is nothing difficult there. If you have 5 children in your family, how many of them are human beings? How many? There are some families that are blessed with quite a multitude. Some have 10. Some have 12. If you have 12 children, how many of them are human beings? Is the last born more less human being than the first born? I mean, all of you that are children of God, you are little gods. Amen. You are little gods with your father, God. Amen. You are God in the likeness of man. Acts chapter 14, verse 11. He said, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of man. Beginning from now, the God in you will begin to distinguish you everywhere. Acts chapter 14, verse 11. The people exclaim, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of man. The gods have come down to us in the likeness of man. Please understand this today, that by virtue of all that you are in Christ, you are now a chartered overcomer. Come, say chartered overcomer. You know, there are chartered accountants, chartered engineers. But we have chattered overcomers. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That means what he believes of himself is what makes him an overcomer. What he believes of himself as contained in scriptures makes him an overcomer. If you understand these pictures, then you are more than a conqueror. Come and say more than a conqueror. Let me have you say more than a conqueror. That means the contender can't wait for you. He can't wait for you to arrive in the ring. When he hears the noise of your coming, he disappears. Because he knows who will fry him. He knows what? He knows who will fry him. From today, no devil threatens you in your domain again. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. The hotter the revelation, the brighter you shine. The hotter the revelation, the brighter you shine. Understand your identity in Christ and secure your glorious destiny in a grand style. Understand your identity in Christ and secure your glorious destiny in a grand style. Become conscious of your identity in Christ, and then you secure your glorious destiny in a grand style. That is the baseline for your strength. That is the baseline for your faith. Recognizing and operating in the consciousness of who you are. Can Christ be involved in a motor accident? Can any robber from hell ask Jesus to lie down? Can any witch be pursuing him in the dream? It's done. How many have seen their picture right now? How many have seen their picture right now? The glory of God is beginning to shine in your life. Get up on your feet, everybody. Just celebrate the picture of the Father of you. Celebrate your picture from scriptures right now, wherever you are. Lift up those hands and thank God for what redemption has made of you. Thank God for your repositioning. Thank God for your decoration. Thank God for your beautification. Thank God for the authority conferred on you. Thank God. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. People pride themselves on who they know and the family they come from. But here you are today. You come from the family of the Father God. And you have Jesus Christ as your brother. You have Jesus Christ as your brother. So no gate can be shut against you again. If you come from the family of a president of a nation, you seem to have access to every door in that nation. Now you are from the family of the Most High God, the God of all the earth, the governor among the nations, the high and lifted up, the ancient of days, the one that has no beginning and has no ending. That means no door on this earth can be shut against you again. A brother of a president, blood brother, cannot be begging for a job in the nation where his brother is president. So anyone looking for a job here, anyone believing for a job here, because you belong to the highest family, you belong to the ever-ruling family, receive your miracle job. You can't belong to the family of Jesus and be believing God for marriage and not get married. Because the father has committed all judgment on him. Why will he watch his own sister, his own brother, be languishing under the touch of the enemy? So everyone that desires to be married, receive your miracle marriages. No sickness in anyone's body will cross today. Whatever came your way as a disease must be destroyed today. Lift up those two hands and give God thanks.